Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Well, arguably one of the most famous buildings in all the world is the cathedral bell in the tower in the Piazza del Duomo in Italy. Of course, it goes by a different name. What is that name? The Leaning Tower of Pisa. You're familiar with it. Well, construction, I was surprised to find out, construction of this tower began all the way back in the 1100s AD. And it took about over two centuries to complete. But famously, since its beginning, there has been one fundamental problem that has plagued this tower, and that is the lack of a firm foundation. If you read about this tower and all the things that have happened since the construction was completed, it's fascinating. You'll see the history is long and varied, but long story short, all these many centuries of its existence, it actually reached a critical point in 1990 when the usual 4-degree tilt of the building had escalated all the way to 5.5 degrees. Now, that may not seem so significant right at the beginning, but it was serious. They were concerned it would fall. They evacuated the apartments and the homes that surrounded the tower because they were afraid it was going to collapse. So the work began to do everything they could to fix it. They took out the heavy bells at the top. They didn't allow people in it anymore, first of all. But they took out those bells. They added counterweights to the opposite side of the tower. They anchored the building into the ground and ran wires that actually allowed them to move the tower. And then they began to take dirt out from underneath it on one side. This went on for many years until finally in May of 2008, engineers declared that for the first time in the tower's nearly 900 years of existence, it had finally stopped moving. Firm foundations are essential. Now, as important as historical buildings like the Leaning Tower of Pisa are, if it had collapsed, our lives would have still continued on, wouldn't they have? It would be tragic, of course, to lose something like that, but ultimately it wouldn't have been that consequential on our day-to-day lives. But what if we were talking about a different thing, a different kind of foundation? What if it was something even more important that was at risk? What if something truly life-altering was at stake? Something like your income, or your family, or your hopes and your dreams, your future, your life, your faith. In this world, every person in this world is building their life upon something. Everyone has a foundation. It has to do with the truly fundamental things in this life. It has to do with what is ultimately true and how that truth impacts everything in our lives. And if so, you are building something, if you are building everything you have upon this something, you want that something to be as firm and secure and strong so that nothing can shake it. Otherwise, you wouldn't risk it, would you? Well, today in our gospel reading, we see and hear the disciples gathered on Easter Sunday evening. And they themselves had not yet seen Jesus risen from the dead. Now, they had heard from Mary Magdalene, actually in the verse right before our gospel reading today began, and she said, "I have seen the Lord." But they didn't believe her. Thomas is often singled out for not believing. But before Jesus appeared to them, the other disciples were the exact same way. They also did not believe. And so they locked themselves in this room because they were afraid for their lives, afraid because at the moment, they found themselves without any kind of foundation. And that must have been terribly unsettling. Later on, when the disciples had seen Jesus and they told Thomas about it, they said, "We have seen the Lord," echoing Mary Magdalene's words. Now it was Thomas's turn to not believe. And he famously said, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." In other words, Thomas said, "Unless I can see the foundation for myself, I will not risk building my life upon it." Because if it weren't true, then he would indeed be risking everything. Sometimes I think we don't think about that, that we forget how much was actually at stake for the disciples. You'll recall that they had watched their enemies kill their master, and they presumed that those enemies, for with good reason, were going to do the same to them as soon as they got the chance. There was a lot on the line. The disciples had left their homes, their jobs, their families, all to follow this Jesus, but they had watched him die. And when you put yourself in their shoes for a moment, you can imagine what watching Jesus die, what effect that had on them. They thought they had watched everything come crashing down like a building that had no foundation. If they were going to rebuild their lives upon something, it had better be a foundation that nothing could shake, not pain, not suffering, not death itself. In fact, it had to be a foundation so strong and secure that it could overcome their greatest enemy at that moment, their own lack of faith. Because that's what they were up against, those disciples and Thomas. They were not doubters with questions. They were not the doubting disciples. Doubt wasn't the problem. The problem was they didn't believe at all. They were men that were convinced that Jesus had died and that he was going to stay dead. So how firm a foundation did they need? Well, firm enough to overcome that kind of fear and unbelief, firm enough to see, firm enough to touch, firm enough to grasp, as firm as hands with nail marks in them and a side with the wound of a spear in it. That's what they needed. And amazingly, graciously, Jesus exactly delivered that to them. You see, the question for us, the question that shows us exactly what's at stake today is this: did Jesus do these things or not? Did he or did he not heal and perform miracles and even raise some people from the dead in order to show that in his reign and rule even death will be undone? Did he or did he not die to grind away our guilt, to snatch away our sin, to liberate us into life with him? Did he or did he not die and rise again to eternal life so that we would know that one day all sickness, all sin, all death, all fear will be wiped away forever? Did Jesus do these things or not? Because that is the true foundation. And what's amazing, what shows the gentle generosity of our Savior, is that Jesus did not begrudge his disciples for having these questions, these fears, this crisis of faith that they were having. Instead, what Jesus did for them was provide them the foundation that they desperately wanted and needed. Now, should the disciples have believed Mary when she said, "I have seen the Lord"? Of course they should have. She had seen the foundation. And should Thomas have believed the other disciples when they said to him, "We have seen the Lord"? Of course he should have. They had seen the foundation. So should you believe the words of Mary and of the disciples and of Thomas today? Should you believe the words of the Apostle John, who was there and wrote all these things down and could have written so many more things? Should you believe them? After all, there is a lot on the line. We're not building a bell tower in Italy here. Your temporal and eternal life is on the line. So is it a firm enough foundation? Did Jesus do these things or not? Did he die for you? Did he rise again for you or not? Well, today Jesus wants you to know without a shadow of a doubt that he did these things for you. And that's why he appeared to Mary. And that's why he appeared then to the disciples. And that's why a week later he appeared to Thomas. That's why he invited Thomas to place his hands into the places of our salvation, into the only wounds in all creation that cause the Father to smile, that caused Thomas to believe and confess, "My Lord and my God." And although today we have not had the same privilege that Thomas and the disciples received when they were permitted to see Jesus and to touch him, we will have that privilege one day. It's not a matter of if you will get the opportunity to see and touch Jesus. It's only a matter of when. Jesus provided what he knew Thomas and the other disciples needed so that they, as the Father had sent Jesus, so that they could be sent then by Jesus. And they did. They went. Their testimony went out into the world, and that's why we are here today. They shared with us, "We have seen the Lord. We have seen the foundation. The Lord has given us faith to believe it." And now even the Lord is sending us just as they were sent. But like I said, be assured, you will see this Jesus. The time is coming. And until that day, Jesus gives us exactly what we need to create and nourish our faith. He doesn't leave us here alone. He is here among us, always with us. He is here with his word in your ears and with his forgiveness that has washed over your head in baptism and cleanses you every time you hear it in his absolution and every time you receive the bread and the wine to drink in his supper. And do you know what each of these moments are when he is nourishing our faith? These are moments where Jesus is coming to you and building up that foundation under your feet. So how firm is that foundation that Jesus provides? Well, it is strong. It is strong enough for your life. It is strong enough for your future. It is strong enough for today, and it is strong enough for tomorrow, and for the day after that, and the day after that. Jesus is your sure and firm foundation for all of your days, and for all of your eternal life. And all that he has done for you, his dying and rising again, all of these things are written for us so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In his name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen.